Everybody have a good Christmas? Yeah? Good, good. Me too. It was good. This week is just weird. You know, I mean, it's just different. It's just unique. I don't mean that necessarily in a bad way. I just mean it's different. That week between Christmas and New Year's, I mean, some people love it. Some people don't. Some people take most of the week off. Other people are working like twice as hard to meet deadlines, you know, before the end of the year. Some people are traveling. Some people are receiving guests, family members that come in. It's just a unique week. I mean, I just want to name that. I just recognize that it's a little different. I'm the kind of guy, if you haven't figured this out already, I like routine and ritual and tradition and dependability. And so I love being able to end my year or start my week, however you want to describe it, here in church with the people that I know. This is my happy place. So anyway, good to be here with y'all. We're going to look at our scripture. If you were here Monday, or if you worshiped in another church while you were out of town, you'll know the traditional Christmas scripture is Luke 2, 1 through 20. We're going to pick up right there. We're going to pick up in verse 21 and just continue on with the story. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, as we turn the page from 2018 into 2019, we recognize that your hand has continued to be upon us. Lord, we ask that we might receive your anointing again as we move into a new year and know that you will always be there to guide and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are at that time of year where we turn the page on the calendar, where we start writing our checks, and we have to mark them out because we wrote 2018 when really now it's 2019. You know, it's that time when we also look back on any resolutions that we might have made over the past year. Did anybody make resolutions last year? Not a one. Okay, well, this will be an easy sermon. So that'll be great. You ever notice that most New Year's resolutions kind of seem the same year after year anyway? You know, like, I get up here about January 1 every year and say, "I'm going to lose weight." Yeah, sure I am, right. You know, I heard about one poor fellow who decided to make only resolutions that he knew he could keep. So he resolved to gain weight, to stop exercising, to read less, watch TV more, to procrastinate more, to quit giving money or time to charity, to not date any Victoria's Secret models all year, and never make another New Year's resolution again. So, I don't know, maybe he's onto something.
You know, our calendar did not come down from on high to Moses at Mount Sinai. It came from human minds. There's no real reason why one day on the calendar should bear more significance than all the others. And yet, still, we invest the changing of the year with a great deal of meaning. In fact, the new year is the most celebrated holiday around the world. It's a time of hope. It's a time of planning. It's a time of vision casting. Ready or not, it's a time for self-improvement. I like a list of resolutions that was prepared by the Reverend Walter Schodel. He calls them 7-ups for the new year. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the soft drink. These 7-ups fall under the heading of attitudes and actions. You may even want to write these down. You might like these, all right? 7-ups. The first is wake up, right? Wake up. Begin the day with the Lord. It is His day. Rejoice in it. The second is dress up. Put on a smile. It says something about your attitude, and it oftentimes puts other people in a better mood too. The third is shut up, right? Watch your tongue. Don't gossip. Say nice things. Learn to listen. My mother told me never to use that word, and here I've used it from the pulpit. The fourth is stand up. Take a stand for what you believe in. Avoid evil. Do what is good. 5, look up. Open your eyes to the Lord. After all, He is our Savior. 6, reach up. Spend time in prayer with your adorations, confessions, thanksgivings, and supplications to the Lord. And finally, lift up. Be available to those who are in need, serving, supporting, sharing. Did y'all get all the 7-ups? Okay? If not, feel free to email me later today. If you're going to make New Year's resolutions this year, I suggest Reverend Schodel's list. Why do we bother to make New Year's resolutions in the first place? Why do we feel this need each January 1 to make new goals? Maybe it's because resolutions help us to make priorities in our life. They answer the question, how do I want to spend my time, my money, my energy, my talent in the new year? The new year reminds us that time is certainly passing. It's up to each of us to maximize the potential of each moment. Sometimes we don't take that so seriously. But someone once wrote some thought-provoking words about the meaning of time. They said, to realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask a pastor who preaches every Sunday. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask 2 people who are getting ready to go on their first date. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask the person who just missed the train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask the person who just avoided an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who came in second in the Olympics. The coming of the new year forces us to face the question, what will be my priorities this year? What will they be? That's a question that Simeon, the central figure in today's Bible passage, didn't have to ask himself. His New Year's resolution was the same every year. Wait for the Messiah. And he never wavered. You know, sometimes we miss great opportunities because we waver, we get distracted, we get sidetracked. I once heard the tale of a talented bloodhound in England that started a hunt by chasing a full-grown male deer. But during the chase, a fox crossed his path, so he broke off and started chasing the fox. Well, a rabbit then crossed his hunting path, and so then he started chasing the rabbit. And after a while, a field mouse crossed his path, and he started chasing the field mouse. Cornered him, too, in a farmer's barn. He'd started out chasing a deer. He ended up catching a mouse. It's a rare dog or human who can do 3 or 4 things successfully at the same time, especially when they're going in different directions. I think what we really need to concentrate on the new year is just doing less and doing them well. Years ago, there was a movie that starred Billy Crystal and Jack Palance called City Slickers. Y'all remember City Slickers? Oh, I see a lot of people nodding. Okay.
Well, if you don't know, Palance, he played this crusty old cowboy named Curly who led a cattle drive that amateurs, people that didn't have much experience on horses, could participate in. And at one point in the movie, he turns to Billy Crystal's character and he says, "You know what the secret to life is?" And he holds up his finger and he says, one thing, you just stick to that." Crystal says, "That's great, but what's the one thing?" Palance replies, "That's what you got to figure out." Simeon lived for one thing. This was his passion, to greet the coming Messiah. And he was all in. I mean all in. Like another one of my favorite movie characters, Roy McAvoy from the movie Tin Cup. Do y'all know this one, the golf movie? Okay, good, good. McAvoy's played by Kevin Costner, and he's this happy-go-lucky, underachieving golf pro who miraculously finds himself in the U.S. Open. He's tied for the lead on the final day of the tournament. He faces a critical decision on the last hole. Should he take a big risk, try to hit it across the water onto the green, and try to win the tournament, or does he lay up? Does he play it safe and force a playoff? Risk it all or play it safe? It's a defining moment for Roy. In fact, Roy uses his favorite expression to sum up the situation. He says, "You define the moment or the moment defines you." Roy is a risk taker. He always has been, he always will be. Sometimes he wins and sometimes he loses, and when he loses bad. But he loves golf and he spurns the idea of playing it safe. And this time is no exception. He goes for the green. That's just who he is. He can be no other person if he's going to be true to himself. Simeon, our biblical hero for the day, he's like Roy. He's zealous for just one thing, only one purpose in his life, only one focus in his prayers. His first thought upon rising, his last thought upon lying down is, "When will I see God?" In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, the Lord tells us, "People, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And many centuries later, Jesus would echo the same sentiment when he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Our Bible passage tells us that Simeon was a man with a pure heart. He'd been blessed with a special assurance from the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the coming Messiah. Now, many people face the future with anxiety, but not Simeon. He had that assurance. Many people, they fear failing health, shrinking finances, social isolation. They reach retirement and they suddenly wonder, you know, what was it all for? This is not the case with Simeon. Because of the Holy Spirit's promise, he faced the future with hope each day. Composer Oscar Hammerstein once claimed, "I just can't write anything without hope in it." When I was in high school, I got to play Curly in Oklahoma. Y'all know Oklahoma? Yeah, y'all remember these lyrics? "Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way." That's Hammerstein, right? I mean, he's just always kind of upbeat. You know, in his show South Pacific, one of the songs contains these words: "I'm stuck like a dope with a thing called hope, and I can't get it out of my heart." Right? I think that's Simeon's theme song: "Stuck like a dope with a thing called hope, and I can't get it out of my heart." Hope for what? Hope that he would see the Lord's power. Hope that he would see the Lord's glory. Hope that he would see the Lord's mercy in the flesh. Hope that he would see God's plan for God's people. And thus the stage is set for Simeon's defining moment. He's in the courtyard of the temple and he spies this humble young couple coming toward him. There's nothing distinguishing about this couple except that they've got a baby in their arms. And there's nothing distinguishing about the baby. But somehow old Simeon knows. He knows this is the one I've been waiting for. So he walks up to the poor couple, takes the squirming child from their arms, and announces that he has finally seen the Messiah. Listen to Simeon's declaration. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. You may now dismiss your servant in peace. You ever thought about what Simeon's life was like after that moment, after meeting Jesus? You know, the Bible doesn't give us any details. I mean, for all we know, he may have died that afternoon. I don't know. Or he may have lived many, many more years. But what was his life like after that? He'd seen the Lord's promise of salvation. He had found perfect peace. There was certainly no more anxiety in Simeon's life. He met Jesus. As John Donne so perfectly put it, "I shall not live till I see God. And when I have seen him, I shall never die." There's a Hebrew word for the emotion that Simeon is feeling in this moment. A word that means both peace and salvation. The word is shalom. In a tiny baby, Jesus, Simeon has found shalom. His life was complete. An encounter with Jesus does that. And here's the good news. You and I can have that same peace and salvation that Simeon experienced 2,000 years ago. You and I can also have shalom. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Do not lose your priority in life. Spend your time in 2019 doing one thing best for Christ and then letting everything else fall into place. Christ's spirit lives best in the disciples who say, "This I will do," rather than, "You know, something ought to be done about that." No. Pick a priority and perform it to the best of your ability. If we can turn to Philippians, we can find some more advice for the new year. This time it comes from the Apostle Paul, who writes, "Forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what is ahead." You know, if you've ever been to a circus, you've no doubt seen those huge bull elephants that are tied up to a peg that's stuck in the ground. You know, maybe it's occurred to you, why don't they just, you know, pop them up and run off? Well, the fact is, they don't ever try. And why not? Because as a baby elephant, those huge bull elephants, when they were much smaller, they were tied to a huge stake that they couldn't possibly pull out of the ground. And weeks of pulling and tugging only just left a trench around the stake until finally they give up. Now that they're full grown with great strength and the physical ability to easily remove the stake, they remember only the futility of the past. And so they don't try. They're conditioned for failure. Notice Paul says we are to forget what lies behind. I think everybody could benefit from having a good mental trash basket. You know, we are to confess our sins and place them under the cross of Jesus, knowing that we are now freed from their condemnation. Jesus can clean the slate. He is the great delete button in our lives. He can propel us to work for righteousness and never give up. So forget both your sins and your successes from 2018 and look forward with God to 2019. Which brings me to my last point, that a new year is possible because Jesus Christ has made each of us his own. Now, I'm not sure that all of us truly believe that, because if we did, we'd live our lives a little differently. Let me illustrate it this way. There was this man who went into a hardware store with a chainsaw, and he threw the chainsaw down on the store owner's desk, and he said, "This is a piece of junk. You told me that I could cut down 40 trees in a day, and I've only been able to cut down 3. Owner said, "Well, maybe the teeth on the saw need to be sharpened." And once that was done, the man took the saw back home,
only to return 3 days later. The man said, it's still a piece of junk. It's a little bit better, but not much. Now I can cut down 5 trees a day, but you promised me 40. I want my money back. Store owner responded, I don't understand it. This is a good piece of equipment. Let me try it. So the owner pulled the starter rope and the chainsaw started right up. The man looked at it surprised, said, what in the world is all that noise? We're like that. We have the chainsaw, we just haven't discovered the power. I believe that most Christians live empty lives today simply because they don't realize that God is with them and wants to work for their good. The power that God offers his people is a resource that we need to draw on in the new year. Do you want to face the new year with shalom, peace, salvation? Make Christ your priority. Forget the past. Don't get sidetracked. And let the power of God guide you in 2019. May this be your defining moment as you wait to see the face of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray with me. Most holy and loving God, you have come to us in the flesh. And Lord, we rejoice, forgetting what lies behind and straining for what is ahead. We ask that you show us the way, the path that leads to righteousness. Holy God, help us to make Christ our number one priority in 2019. Give us courage, give us strength, and forgive us when we fail. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.